ஹோமஜ்ஞான்தி மினந்தஸ்ய ஜானாஞ்சல சலாகார சக்ஷிரும் மினிதம் வீணா தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமா. ஜெய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சைத்தன்யா பிரபு நித்தானந்தா ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார சிவசதி கௌர் பக்தவிருந்தா. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. மத்திய லீலா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் 35th வர்ஸ். ஹரி பக்தி விலாச அர பாகவத் அமிர்த தசமக்தி புணி அர தசமாச்சரித. ஹரிபக்தி விலாஸ், த ஸ்கிரிப்சர் நேம் ஹரிபக்தி விலாஸ் ஆர அண்ட் பாகவத் அமிர்த, த ஸ்கிரிப்சர் நேம் வியத் பாகவத் அமிருத் தசமா டப்னி கமெண்ட்ஸ் ஆன் த 10 கண்டா ஆஃப் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் ஆர அண்ட் தசமாச்சரித போயட்ரி அபவுட் த 10 கண்டா ஆஃப் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம். சம் ஆஃப் த புக்ஸ் கம்பைல்ட் பை ஸ்ரீ சனாதன் கோஸ்வாமி வர் ஹரிபக்தி விலாஸ் வியத் பாகவத் அமிருத் டப்னி and Dasama Charita. The first wave of the book known as Bhakti Ratnakar, it is said that Sanatana Goswami understood Srimad Bhagavatam by thorough study and explained it in his commentary known as Vaishnava Toshani. All the knowledge that Sri Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami directly acquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was broadcast all over the world by their expert service. Sanatana Goswami gave his Vaishnava Toshani commentary to Srila Jeev Goswami for editing and Srila Jeev Goswami edited this under the name of Laghu Toshini. Whatever he immediately put down in writing was finished in the year 1476 Saka AD 1554. Srila Jeev Goswami completed the Laghu Toshini in the year Sakabda 1504 AD 1582. The subject matter of the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Srila Sanatana Goswami was collected by Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami and is known as a Vaishnav Smriti. This Vaishnav Smriti Grantha was finished in 20 chapters known as Vilasas. In the first Vilas, there is a description of how a relationship is established between the spiritual master and the disciple, and mantras are explained. In the second Vilas, the process of initiation is described. In the third vilas, the methods of Vaishnava behavior are given, with emphasis on cleanliness, constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the chanting of the mantras given by initiating spiritual master. In the fourth vilas are descriptions of sanskara, the reformatory method, tilak, the application of 12 tilakas on 12 places of the body, mudra, marks on the body, mala, chanting with beads, and guru puja, worship of the spiritual master. In the fifth vilas, one is instructed on how to make a place to sit for meditation. And there are descriptions of breathing exercises, meditation and worship of the Shaligram Shila, representation of Lord Vishnu. In the sixth vilas, the required practices for inviting the transcendental form of the Lord and bathing Him are given. In the seventh vilas, one is instructed on how to collect flowers used for the worship of Lord Vishnu. In the eighth vilas, there is a description of the deity and instructions on how to set up incense, light lamps, make offerings, dance, play music, beat drums, garland the deity, offer prayers and obeisances and counteract offenses. In the ninth vilas, there are descriptions about collecting tulsi leaves, offering oblations to forefathers according to Vaishnava rituals and offering food. In the tenth vilas, there are descriptions of the devotees of the Lord, Vaishnavas or saintly persons. In the 11th vilas, there are elaborate descriptions of deity worship and the glories of the holy name of the Lord. One is instructed on how to chant the holy name of the deity, and there are discussions about offenses committed while chanting the holy name, along with methods for getting relief from such offenses. There are also descriptions of the glories of devotional service and the surrendering process. In the 12th vilas, Ekadashi is described. In 13th vilas, fasting is discussed, as well as observance of Mahadwadashi ceremony. In the 14th vilas, different duties for different months are outlined. In the 15th vilas, there are instructions on how to observe Ekadashi fasting without even drinking water. There are also descriptions of branding the body with symbols of Vishnu, discussions of Chaturmasya observations during the rainy season, and discussions of Janmashtami, Parshvai Ekadashi, Shravan Ekadashi, Shravana Dvadashi, Ram Navami and Vijaya Dashmi. The 16th vilas discusses duties to be observed in the month of Kartik, October, November, or the Damodar month, or Urja, when lamps are offered in the deity room. or above the temple. There are also descriptions of the Gos and Puja and the Rath Yatra. The 17th Vilas discusses preparations for deity worship, Mahamantra chanting and the process of Japa. In the 18th Vilas, the different forms of Vishnu are described. The 19th Vilas discusses the establishment of the deity and the rituals observed in during the deity before installation. The 20th Vilas discusses the construction of temples, referring to those constructed by great devotees. The details of the Hari Bhakti Vilas Granth are given by Sri Krishna Sarvanath Goswami in the Madhya Leela, 24th chapter, 329 to 345 verse. The descriptions given in those verses by Krishna Sarvanath Goswami are actually a description of those portions compiled by Gopal Bhatt Goswami. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the regulative principles of devotional service compiled by Gopal Bhatt Goswami do not strictly follow our Vaishnava principles. Actually, Gopal Bhatt Goswami collected only a summary of the elaborate descriptions of Vaishnava regulative principles from Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami's opinion, however, that to follow the Hari Bhakti Vilas strictly is to actually follow the Vaishnava rituals in perfect order. He claims that the Smartha Samaj, which is strictly followed by caste Brahmanas, has influenced portions that Gopal Bhatt Goswami collected from the original Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is therefore very difficult to find out Vaishnava directions from the book of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. It is better to consult the commentary made by Sanatana Goswami himself for the Hari Bhakti Vilas name Dig Darshini Tika. Some say that the same commentary was compiled by Gopinath Puja Adhikari, who was engaged in the service of Sri Radha Ramanji and who happened to be one of the disciples of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Regarding the Brihad Bhagavat Amrit, there are two parts, both of which deal with the discharge of devotional service. The first part is a theoretical study of devotional service, in which there is also a description of different planets, including the earth, the heavenly planets, Brahmalok and Vaikuntha Lok. There are also descriptions of the devotees, including intimate devotees, most intimate devotees and complete devotees. The second part describes the glories of the spiritual world known as Golok Mahatmya, Nirupana, as well as the process of renunciation of the material world. It also describes real knowledge, devotional service, the spiritual world, love of Godhead, attainment of one's attainment of life's destination, and the bliss of the world. In this way, there are 7 chapters in each part, 14 chapters in all. The Dasama Tippani is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another name for this commentary is Brihad Vaishnava Toshini Tika. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is said that Dasama Tippani was finished in 1476 of the AD 1554. Okay. Any comment or question?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Speak louder.
Okay, Prabhuji. What is this, it's mentioned about, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrit part, you mentioned about complete devotees. So what exactly?
About what?
Intimate devotee and complete devotee. What is the difference, Prabhuji?
Okay. Most intimate devotees and complete devotees. Yeah, so Brihad Bhagavat Amrit basically is divided into two parts as given by Prabhupada. So one part is basically consisting of which is the highest abode of the Lord, which is the most intimate devotee of the Lord, or the most complete devotee of the Lord. So there is one devotee, who is actually Sanatana Goswami has conceptualized the entire thing. Obviously, everything whatever he has given, it is as per the Shastra. So it does not contradict the Shastra in any way. He is trying to he is trying to give the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam basically by narrating a story of a devotee called as Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar, he is one of the Vrajvasis. He has taken birth in Vrajbhumi, and he has been given the 10-syllable Gopal Mantra by his guru. So later on, at the end of the culmination of the journey of Gop Kumar, it is revealed that that guru was none other than Krishna himself. So Krishna came in the form of the guru and he gave Gopal Mantra to Gop Kumar. So while chanting the Gopal Mantra, Gop Kumar is actually, he is traversing different parts of the material world. So first he is going to Brahmalok. From Brahmalok he goes to Shivalok. Then Shivalok, from there he goes to Vaikunthalok. And from Vaikunthalok finally he attains Vrajbhumi, and then he realizes that he is a coward boy. So so this is the journey of Gop Kumar. Just by chanting the Gopal Mantra, he is able to penetrate the coverings of the universe, and then he is able to go to the spiritual world. At the same time, there is also the story of Narad Muni trying to find out who is the greatest devotee of the Lord in the spiritual world. So then, so Narad Muni, is wandering, and then he's meeting the kings who are performing some yajna. And the kings, he thinks that the king, they are the most, the Lord has given the most mercy to these kings, and they are his very intimate devotees. So then the kings, they actually tell Narad Muni that we are not the best devotees. In fact, it is, Indra who is actually, the best one. And then Narad Muni goes to Indra, then he's glorifying Indra, and then Indra says that actually you are not saying the truth, you are just trying to glorify the devotees, but actually superior to me is Brahma. Brahma has achieved the mercy of the Lord to a greater degree. So then he goes to Brahma, and then Brahma says that Lord Shiva has got the mercy of the Lord more, much greater. So then he goes to Shiva, and then Shiva directs him to Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prahlad Maharaj directs him to Hanuman. Hanuman directs them into Pandavas, in the Yadu. And the Pandavas direct Narad Muni to Uddhava. And then finally Uddhava reveals to Narad Muni that actually the gopis are the highest devotees of the Lord, the greatest, the most intimate and complete devotees. So this is how actually Sanatana Goswami is using these stories to actually, he is basically revealing the essence of the Sampradaya's teachings in the form of the narration of these two stories. And it is also described that this narration was also spoken by Jaimini Rishi to King Janamejaya. So, I think King Janamejaya is probably the son of Parikshit Maharaj. So, he wants to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, so he approaches Uttara Devi. But Uttara is unable to, she directs King Janamejaya to Jaimini Rishi. And that is how actually Jaimini Rishi is giving the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam to King Janamejaya. And that's how the entire story starts from there. So this is how Brihad Bhagavatamrita is compiled by Sanatana Goswami. So it is actually giving the, and then there are very important Tattva Siddhant principles from Brihad Bhagavatam that he has explained. He has just kind of given his own realization of the Srimad Bhagavatam in a very beautiful narrative way. Yeah. So this is, so that is the reason Prabhupada is mentioning descriptions of devotees intimate, is most intimate and complete. So because, there is a successive sequence of increasing order of devotees, so which Narad Muni is experiencing. Okay.
Prabhuji, who is the guru of you were mentioning of Gopa Kumar.
Huh?
Who is the guru of Gopa Kumar you were mentioning, Prabhuji?
Yeah, Gokumar story what?
Who is the guru you were mentioning?
Krishna. Krishna actually disguises himself.
Okay.
And but that guru is finally, it is revealed in the end that he was none other than Krishna. So Krishna himself is giving Gopal mantra to Gopkumar. Yeah, okay. Any other question? Have you this is 35th verse? Thank you so much. Haribol? So, has all the devotees joined? Sorry? Okay. Achha, you know, my humble request, and I think all of you must be agreeing to this, that let's start this early, you know, because after 9:30 it becomes too late. You know, we'll have to then wind up by 11:15, 11:30. So, I think we should target 9:15. You know? And
correct.
So, yeah, so that is actually the ideal time. And even, you know, Nirvika, you also, you know, if you can join early by 9:15, that would be great. So you just try to manage and, you know, arrange your schedule in such a way that 15 minutes early you can join. Like many times, I think, you know, you do mention that you'll join by 9:30, but I think by the time you join, it is like 9:45, 9:50. So I think it's too late actually for everyone. So let us try to.
I will try to join early next time.
Yeah, 9:15. I think, you know, we should make the base, and then five minutes here and there it is okay. But 9:15, we should definitely try to start. Okay, so we just finished the 35th verse purport, and there were some questions by Swati Matari, so I was just like elaborating on that. Okay. Sir, actually, Rajiv Bhai, I just wanted to, you know, like ask you if we can meet on Thursday. So, you let me know, you know, like whenever you have time, you let me know if Thursday is okay for you.
Okay. What time, Prabhuji? Because Thursday, I'm also having a visitor from Pune who will reach by around 12, and that meeting is in Navi Mumbai.
Acha, okay. So what time you will be able to reach?
It will go up to maybe 4 o'clock. So if I
yeah, so
I can reach
5 is okay for you. 5:30.
Navi Mumbai to Andheri will take at least 1.5 hours minimum.
No. Like I'm thinking of like coming to your place.
Oh, wonderful. So then, okay, so then can we coordinate the time? Then it can go on even till like 8, 9 at night, na?
Yeah, that's fine. So, like, I was thinking maybe around 5:30 if it is okay for me.
Yeah, I will try and make myself through by that time. I will try.
Okay. Theek hai, no problem. Thank you. And, yeah, Nirvika, you know, can you also confirm for the Saturday program, Saturdays or Sunday? That we have to decide.
Which one?
This coming Saturday or Sunday. I think you must have seen in the group, no? House program group.
No, I have not seen in my messages. Is this okay, I will see it and I will confirm it.
Yeah, so you let see, actually, Anju Matari, I think they are only able to make it on Sunday. So,
okay.
If Anju Matari, so, you know, if everyone is okay with Sunday and you know, if Anju Matari is confirmed, then we can have it on Sunday. Otherwise, if somebody has any problem on Sunday, then we can keep it on Saturday.
No, Prabhuji, we can keep it on Sunday. Sunday, even I will be the 29th. Achha, this 29th.
Yeah, actually, that is also Navratri, the first day of Navratri. So, I don't know if you have other commitment.
No, actually, this 29th and next week, after that, the 2 Sundays, I might be going out of Bombay. So, I'm not sure whether I'll be able to come. I'll only come to know, like, latest only by Friday or Saturday if my thing is confirmed for going.
Achha, but actually that is a bit late here. I mean, I would expect that if for the house programs, at least 3 days in advance, if devotees can let me know latest.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this conflict of Saturday and Sunday, so then
Saturday,
you know we
for
can.
Sure, I'm not going to be able to come Saturday because I have some work on Saturday. So for sure, Saturday I will not.
Okay,
be
okay.
Come.
Then okay, Rajiv Prabhu, are you okay with Sunday?
Yeah, Prabhuji, you know, Sunday class hota, but then you'll have to miss the class. Or Sunday morning is fine, Prabhuji?
Which?
Sunday afternoon is fine instead of evening?
Afternoon will be difficult for you because, actually there are some certain commitments in the house also in the morning and afternoon time. So, yeah, a bit difficult. But we can... I was thinking that, you know, this time we can combine Kirtan and the class also. So like 1 hour Kirtan we can have. And I will try to invite some devotees from Gopinath Temple. And then we can have a two hour class and 1 hour Kirtan. So that were 3 hours. And then Prasadam half hour. So like 3.5 hours total program we can keep it. So that will be, you know, we can start by 6. You know, will it be possible?
Because 5 to 6 yeah, class is here, baby. So 7ish. Chalega from 7 point jaunga.
Okay, by till 7, yeah. Yeah, actually, see, even I would also prefer Saturday only, but you know, somehow because of Anju Mataji, but I would have, you know, want that assurance from her that she will surely attend on Sunday. Otherwise, we'll see, you know, because. You know, so sometimes she will say that okay, she will join, and then later on probably she will not be able to. So,
okay. So
I will just make sure that she is able to come on Sunday, because I don't know, you know, if they have any commitments for Navratri on the first day. So,
okay.
Okay, anyways, let's continue. 36th verse. Yeah. So, who would like to continue?
Yes,
yeah, Swati Mata, you can continue.
Yes. X36. A Sabak Ranta Kaila Goshani Sanatana Rupa Goshani Kaila Yatha A Karun Ganana A Sabha, all these Grantha scriptures Kaila compiled Goswami Sanatana Sanatan Goswami Rupa Goswami Rupa Goswami Kaila.
Hare Krishna, not able to hear.
In the line has become blank.
Yeah. Okay, Rajiv, now you can continue.
Okay.
Translation.
Translation. We have already given the names of 4 books compiled by Sanatan Goswami. Similarly, Srila Rupa Goswami has also compiled many books, which no one can understand.
Yeah, so the 4 most important books, contribution by Sanatan Goswami, already mentioned in the previous verse. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita, definitely one of the most important contribution. And then Hari Bhakti Vilas, actually it is collected by Gopal Bhatt Goswami, but then Sanatan Goswami also is making some contribution in that. And is Dasama Tipani or Brihad Vaishnava Tarshani. It is mentioned that the Srimad Bhagavatam's commentary, the best commentary is provided by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's called the Rasa Acharya because his commentary is full of Ras. And then the second most beautiful commentary in the entire Vaishnava Sampradaya is that of Sanatana Goswami. That is Brihad Vaishnava Tarshani. And so Brihad Vaishnava Tarshani was given to Jiva Goswami for editing. And after you edited, that work was called as Laghu Toshani. Okay. So, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this Brihad Vaishnava Toshani, and Dasama Charita. These are the 4 most important contributions by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Okay, so now we'll see Roop Goswami's work.
प्रधान प्रधान कीचु कहिए जनाना लक्ष्य ग्रंथ पहला गज विलास गगना प्रधान जी प्रधान द मोस्ट इम्पोर्टेंट वन कीचु कम कहिए आई डू जनाना एन्यूमरेशन लक्ष्य वन लैक ग्रंथ इन वर्सेस पहला डिड गज विलास ऑफ द पास टाइम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड इन वृंदावन वर्णना डिस्क्रिप्शन Translation. I shall therefore enumerate the chief books compiled by Sri Rupa Goswami. He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan in 1 lakh verses.
So see, Jiva Goswami is the greatest scholar in the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He alone has composed almost 5 lakh verses. Now, 5 lakh verses are actually a very, very significant number. I mean, if you combine all these scriptures also together, you know, they will be, for example, Bhagavatam itself is 18,000 slokas, 18,000 verses. Then Mahabharata is 1 lakh verses. Okay. So you can just imagine what is the contribution of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami was such a scholar that he was not just a Sanskrit scholar, but he was also a poet. He was also philosophy. He has also given a lot of philosophical literature, and he has also given a lot of poetry in the form of champus, like the Gopal Champu and many other works. And then he has also given philosophy in the form of the Satsandarbhas. And, you know, he has also commented on the Srimad Bhagavatam and multiple books. Not only that, but he also has given Harinam, Namamrit Vakyaran, which is to explain each and every Sanskrit, the meaning of the Sanskrit words in terms of Harinam. So it's a very unique and extraordinary contribution by Jiva Goswami. Anyway, Jiva Goswami is, I think, will come across later, but right now we can focus on Roop Goswami. Yeah, so 1 lakh verses, he has described the pastimes of Vrindavan. Okay, next.
Yeah. Text 38. Rasamrita Sindhu Aravi Siddhartha Madhava Ujjula Niramani Aravita Madhava. Rasamrita Sindhu, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ara and Siddhartha Madhava, Siddhartha Madhava Ujjula Niramani, the Ujjula Niramani, Ara and Lalita Madhava, the Lalita Madhava. So here all the translation of all the words is the word itself. Translation. The books
compiled of books.
I said these are names of the books, that is why. Okay.
Yeah.
The books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami include the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidant Mahadev, Vidant Madhava, Ujjwala Nilamani, and Lalita Madhava. So move ahead.
Yeah, so Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as we know, is and very condensely given in the form of Nectar Devotion by Prabhupada. And it is the most important works in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, because it is actually defining the defining and explaining the meaning of Bhakti Ras, which, you know, the ocean of the mellows of devotion. And so just like Bhagavatam is actually the body of Krishna, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the body of Srimati Radharani. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally revealed these teachings to Rupa Goswami, that is the reason. And it is mentioned that, you know, Rupa Goswami is the heart of Srimati Radharani. So it is manifested from the heart of Srimati Radharani, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that's why it is extremely important for each and every devotee to thoroughly understand Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It explains in detail the principles of devotional service, devotional mellows. Basically, you know, the Bhakti Tattva, the Ras Tattva, everything is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, extremely important book. Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, these are two books which contain the pastimes of the Lord. So, Vidagdha and Lalit means, you know, basically there are pastimes that Krishna did in Vrindavan, and then the pastimes that he executed after leaving Vrindavan, Rajbhumi. And then Ujjwal Nilamani is a very advanced version which also explains the Rats Tattva in a lot of details, along with the past tense of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so these are the most important contributions.
Ravali, many prayers. Astadasa, 18. Lila Chanda, chronological. Chronological pastime. Ara and the Dhyavali, the Padhyavali, Govinda Vidudavali, the Govinda Vidudavali, Sahara Lakshana, the symptoms of the book. Mathura Mahatmya, the glories of Mathura, are a Nataka Vandana and descriptions of Brahma, Nataka Chandrika. Translation, Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled the Dana Keli comedy, Savavali, Leela Chanda, Abhyavali, Govinda Vrindavali, Mathura Mahatmya and Nataka Vandana. Text 41. Lagu Bhagavata Vrittadi Eka Rupanana Sarvatra Karila Vraja Vilasa Varnana Lagu Bhagavata Amrita Adi. Another list containing Lagu Bhagavata Amrita. A. Who Karu Karana can count Sarvatra everywhere Karila did Vraja Vilas of the pastimes of Vrindavan. Varnana description. Translation. Who can count the rest of the book edited by the Lagu Bhagavatamrita written by Sri Rupa Goswami? He has described the past tense of Vrindavan in all of them. Purpose. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given a description of these books. The Bhakti Siddhanta Sindhu is a great book of instruction on how to develop devotional service to Lord Krishna and follow the transcendental process. It was finished in the year 1463, Shatabda, AD 1541. This book is divided into four parts: Purva Vibhaga, Eastern Division; Dakshina Vibhaga, Southern Division; Pashchima Vibhaga, Western Division; and Uttara Vibhaga, Northern Division. In the Purva Vibhaga, there is a description of the permanent development of devotional service, the general principles of devotional service, the execution of devotional service, ecstasy in devotional service, and ultimately the attainment of love of Godhead are described. In this way, there are four layering waves in this division of the ocean of nectar, of the nectar of devotion. In the Dakshina Vibhag, Southern Division, there is a general description of the mellow relationship called Bhakti Rasa, which is derived from devotional service. There are also descriptions of the stages known as Vibhav, Anubhav, Tatvika, Vyabhichari, and Hai Bhava, all on this high platform of devotional service. Thus, there are five waves in the Dakshina Vibhag Division. In the Western Division, Pashchima Vibhaga, there is a description of the three transcendental humors derived from devotional service. These are known as Mukhya Bhakti Rasa Nirupana, or the attainment of the chief humors or feelings in the execution of devotional service. In that part, there is a description of devotional service in neutrality, further development in love and affection called servitude, further development in fraternity, further development in parenthood or parental love, and finally conjugal love between Krishna and his devotees. Thus, there are five waves in the Western Division. In the northern division, Uttara Vibhag, there is a description of the indirect mellows of devotional service, namely devotional service in laughter, devotional service in wonder, and devotional service in chivalry, pity, anger, dread, and ghastliness. There are also mixing of mellows and the transgression of different humors. Thus, there are 9 waves in this part. This is but a brief outline of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Vidarbha Madhava is a drama of Lord Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. Sri Rupa Goswami finished this book in the year 1454, Shakabda, AD 1532. The first part of this drama is called Venu Nad Vilas, and second part, Man Matha Lekha. The third part, Radha Sangha, and the fourth part, Venu Harana. The fifth part, Radha Prasadana. The sixth part, Sarad Vihara. And the seventh and last part, Gauri Vihara. There is also a book called Ujjwala Nilamani, a transcendental account of loving affairs that includes metaphor, analogy, and higher bhakti sentiments. Devotional service in conjugal love is described chiefly in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it is very elaborately discussed in the Ujjwala Nilamani. This book describes different types of lovers, their assistants, and those who are very dear to Krishna. There is also description of Srimati Radharani and other female lovers, as well as various group leaders, messengers, and their constant associates, as well as others who are very dear to Krishna, are all described. The book also relates how love of Krishna is awakened and describes the ecstatic situation, the devotional situation, prominent ecstasy, disturbed ecstasy, steady ecstasy, different positions of different dresses, feelings of separation, prior attraction, anger and attraction, varieties of loving affairs, separation from the beloved, meeting with the beloved, and both direct and indirect enjoyment between the lover and the beloved. All this has been very elaborately described. Similarly, the Lalita Madhav is a description of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. These pastimes were made into a drama, and the work was finished in the year 1459 Shatabda. The first part deals with festivities in the evening, the second with the killing of the Shankachura, and third with marrying Srimati Radharani, the fourth with Radharani proceeding towards Krishna, the fifth with the achievement of Chandravali, the sixth with the achievement of Lalita, the seventh with the meeting in Nav Vrindavana, the eighth with the enjoyment with the enjoyment in Nav Vrindavan, the ninth was with looking over pictures, and the tenth with complete satisfaction of the mind. Thus, the entire drama is divided into 10 parts. The Lagu Bhagavat Samhita is divided into 2 parts. The first is called the Nectar of Krishna, and the second is the Nectar of Devotional Service. The importance of Vedic evidence is stressed in the first part, and this is followed by description of the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Sri Krishna and description of his pastimes and expansion in Swamsha, personal form, and the Vinashma. According to different absorptions, the incarnations are called Avesha and Tarekatma. The first incarnation is divided into Purushavataras. The first incarnation is divided into 3 Purushavataras, namely Mahavishnu, Garbha Diksha Vishnu, and Shira Diksha Vishnu. Then there are the 3 incarnations of the modes of nature, namely Brahma Vishnu and Maheshwara, Shiva. All the paraphernalia used in the service of the Lord is transcendental, beyond the 3 qualities of this material world. There is also a description of 25 Leela Avataras, namely Chatushana, the Kumaras, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Yagna, Naranarayana, Naranarayana Rishi, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hayagriva, Amsha, Krishni, Garbha, Rishabh, Prithu, Narasimha, Purma, Dhanavantari, Mohini, Vamana, Parashurama, Dasharathi, Krishna Dwaj, Payana, Balarama, Vasudeva, Buddha, and Kalki. So these are 25 Leela avatars. There are also 14 incarnations of Manu, Yajna, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Vishala, Vishwakshena, Dharmasetu, Sudhama, Yogeshwara, and Brihadbhami. There are also 4 incarnations for the 4 yugas, and their colors are described as white, red, blackish, and black. Sometimes blackish, sometimes yellow, as in case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are different types of millenniums and incarnations for those millenniums. The category is called Avesha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Para constitute different situations for the different incarnations. According to specific pastimes, the names are spiritually empowered. There are also descriptions of the difference between the powerful and the power and the inconceivable activities of the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one is greater than Him. He is the source of all incarnations. In the Vyasa Bhagavatamrita, there are descriptions of His partial incarnations, a description of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, that is actually the bodily effulgence of Sri Krishna. So, the super excellence of Sri Krishna's pastime as an ordinary human being with 2 hands and so forth. There is nothing to compare with the 2-armed form of the Lord. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Jagat, there is no distinction between the owner of the body and the body itself. In the material world, the owner of the body is called a soul, and the body is called a material manifestation. In the Vaikuntha world, however, there is no such distinction. Lord Sri Krishna is unborn, and His appearance as an incarnation is perpetual. Krishna's pastimes are divided into 2 parts, manifest and unmanifest. For example, when Krishna takes His birth within this material world, His pastimes are considered to be manifest. However, when He disappears, one should not think that He is finished, or His pastimes are going on in an unmanifest form. Varieties of humors, however, are enjoyed by the devotees and Lord Krishna during His manifest pastime. After all, His pastimes in Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwarka are eternal and are going on perpetually somewhere in some part of the universe.
So now, can everyone realize what is taken to them with Madhya Leela? Advanced version. So all the books which are mentioned here by Krishna Sarvara Goswami, these are all advanced topics. So unless we are able to assimilate what Prabhupada has given to us, we are unable to understand what is there in these books. So that is the reason Bhakti Shastri also has Nectar of Devotion, one of the most important texts. Very, very important. And, the Laghu Bhagavatamrita is actually a philosophical thesis kind of a thing, similar to the Sandarbha. And actually Krishna Sandarbha, generally a lot of things have been derived from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami is using a lot of content from Laghu Bhagavatamrita in his book, Krishna Sandarbha. So these are the different books. Prabhupada has done the brief of each and every book, which is presented by Rupa Goswami. Any question or comment? Like, anyone has any question? So it's a vast ocean. We'll never be able to finish all these things. There's so much to cover. So Prabhupada's books itself takes an entire lifetime. Then what to speak of reading all these Acharya works?
There are also these avatars which are mentioned here.
Huh?
these number of avatars which are mentioned here.
Ha ha ha.
25 Leela avatars. So Narada is an avatar.
Yeah, I mean, see, here, I mean, actually speaking, you know, these 25 personalities, they have been put in the category of avatars, Leela avatar, but technically speaking, they are actually Satyavesh avatars, some of them, like, you know, Buddha, then Kalki, and then Parshuram, then, you know, Narada is also Satyavesh avatar. So their identification is generally in the category of Satyavesh avatar, but because they are doing some Leela, so it is also given in the Leela avatar. But actually speaking, you know, Krishna, Vamana, Narasimha, Rama, they are the prominent Leela avatars of the Lord. So other incarnations, they are like temporary incarnations, like for example Mohini, she is just coming for particular occasion, particular task, particular service, and then she goes away. But
so is Narasimha, he's also coming for a very brief time.
Yeah, but you know, Narasimha is the eternal form of the Lord, which is worshipped, and it is actually superior to the other forms of the Lord. So Krishna's form is the most superior amongst all of the incarnations. Then comes the form of Lord Ramchandra, and the third one is Lord Narasimha. So Narasimha is even superior to Vamana, Matsya, Kurma, all these other incarnations. So because Narasimha is actually exchanging rasa with the devotees, that pastime is manifested in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. So he is basically having more reciprocation, and you know, his personality is more of ras compared to any other incarnation of the Lord. Others are, you know, they are just performing certain service and they just go away. But we won't find that, you know, there is a spiritual world existing, you know, and they are having Leelas there. So it is generally for all these Leela avatars, Narasimha, Vamana, Kurma, Matsya, then Rama, all these are the real Leela avatars. And they have their own spiritual world. So they have an eternal rasa with the devotees.
Okay. So in terms of the quality.
So now you say Prithu, Mara, Rishabdev, these are all Satyavesh avatars actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but they are Krishna Dvaipanya was also Satyavesh avatar. But here it is mentioned in the Leela avatar, because now see Balram, ideally, you know, Balram is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is given in, you know, one of the Leela avatars. But so we understand from the context that these are all given because they are performing some kind of Leela.
Okay. But in terms of quality, the topmost is Krishna, who is not an avatar but avatari, correct?
Yeah.
Then you're saying next comes Ramchandra.
Yeah.
But Ramchandra is the avatar of Garbhodiksha Vishnu, na?
No. Actually, like just like Krishna is coming from Garbhodiksha Vishnu, or is manifesting from Shirodiksha Vishnu. So similarly, Ramchandra also is manifesting, and then Narasimha, Vara, all these avatars also, they manifest from Shirodiksha Vishnu. But actually, you can say that they are superior to even Shirodiksha Vishnu, because Shirodiksha Vishnu is an incarnation in the material world. And Vara, Vamana, all these avatars, they are eternally existing in the Vaikuntha planets. So they are actually superior. They are superior to the Purusha avatars. Okay. But just as a matter of Leela, then they come to the material world. They come through Shirodiksha Vishnu. Even Krishna also comes through Shirodiksha Vishnu. But, you know, our Rupa Goswami has mentioned this in Laghu Bhavratamrit, that the most you know, the most superior form is Krishna, then comes Lord Ramchandra, and then comes Narasimha.
Okay. And this 14 incarnations of Mani.
Yeah, there are also 14 Manvantara.
Krishna, basically Vishnu?
Huh?
14 incarnations of Manu when we say, so who's, I mean, what actually is the personality Manu? Manu is again...
So generally they are like, they are empowered devotees, divas. They are not, it's not like they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are not Vishnu Tattvas. They are like Jiva Tattvas. They are empowered by the Lord. So just like Brahma is also empowered by the Lord. So similarly, all these 14 Manus are also empowered.
So Vamana comes in this category.
So Vamana, here it is one of the Manvantar. So it is different Vamana, which is the Vishnu Tattva.
Sure. Because Vamana is there in 25 Leela Avatars also, and Vamana is here also.
Yeah. So these are different. So Vamana in the Leela Avatar is our Lord Vamandev.
Okay.
Prabhuji, they even say that sometimes when there is no Manu, even Krishna himself incarnates as a Manu, that also happens sometimes.
I have heard it for Brahma, but I don't know if it happens for Manu.
Okay.
Yeah, because generally Manu's task is not so difficult as Brahma's task. So the Lord will take that position sometimes. But I don't remember if I have heard like that. Krishna is also taking the position of Manu. Plus, okay, another thing we have to understand that there are so many Manus. Like, you know, Brahma, if you compare Brahma to a Manu, then there are, in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. What to speak of in 100 years of Brahma? So many Manus will be there. But Brahma is only one for that particular universe. So it makes sense that Krishna appears as Brahma.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, everything is possible by the Lord. So, it might be possible that he also might come as one of the Manus. But I have not heard that till now, or I don't recollect that.
Okay.
Yeah, so this, all these detailed, categorization, details and everything is given in Laghu Bhagavat Amrit and Jiva Goswami's Sandarvas. So see, even after reading all these literatures, there are also other details which you might not be able to find out. So you can just imagine the extent of the Vedic literatures or the literatures provided by the acharyas. So it's a vast ocean. You have to dive deeper and you will think that you are still at the surface of the ocean. So the more you go deep, the more you feel that you are at the surface of the ocean.
Prabhuji, how many of these books have you read? This is curious.
How many of these
books of Rupa Goswami or earlier of Sanatana and now of Jiva Goswami, if you come, how many have you read?
I have read.
How many? If you've read.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've read Laghu Bhagavat Amrit because it's very important scripture. It is giving a lot of details. And then Brihat Bhagavat Amrit of Sanatana Goswami I have also read. And I know the essence of Lalit Madhav and Vidarbha Madhav and Ujjwala Nindamani. Although I have not read it personally, but I know the content that they provide. So, yeah, this is what I have read. Like, and Bhakti Samrita, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, some content of Vidarbha Madhav, Lalit Madhav is also presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where, you know, I think it comes in the Antalila, probably Madhya or Antalila. So where, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with Ramananda Rai, and then devotees are, you know, Ramananda Rai, Sarup Damodar Goswami, they are testing the knowledge of Guru Goswami. So they are inviting Guru Goswami and they are asking him, can you present something so that actually we will understand what you have written in your book. And so then Guru Goswami is describing Lalita Madhav. So that is also given in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
Yeah. So, any other question?
Okay.
Actually, whatever the names of, you know, I will tell you one thing very honestly, that for the devotees who have not yet finished Prabhupada books, when you hear about these books, you might feel that, oh my God, so much, there's so much. Speaking, when I already am aware of these books, and I've gone through these books, you know, some of them, probably I know the summary and the essence, and some of them I've personally read. And I will also tell you honestly that this much knowledge is also not sufficient. There is still so much knowledge available that always you will feel and think that, oh, you know, we have so much to read and we have so much to learn. So this is a never-ending ocean. Like, you know, it is, the more you read, the more you will feel that you have not read, and then the more you want to keep reading. At the same time, you also want to continue to read Prabhupada's books. You cannot afford to stop reading Prabhupada's books, because the moment you stop reading Prabhupada's books, actually there are some consequences of that. And the consequences is that you will be carried away by the teaching of the acharyas. You will start thinking that the acharyas have given certain things which are more important than what Prabhupada has given. So you will be carried away with that. And so it might lead to offenses also later. And at the same time, you will not be able to understand how to apply practically the teachings of these acharyas in our current scenario. So if you want to learn that, if you want to know that, then only Prabhupada is the one who has actually given the summary essence of all the acharya's teachings in his books, along with the practical realization and application of these teachings. None of the other acharyas, they have done that. That is the reason Prabhupada's books are extremely special. So now, you know, like, I will be conducting a seminar in Radha Gopira temple. So somehow talks are going on. And it was, initially it was decided on 2nd October, but now, because of connecting this seminar to the Srimad Bhagavatam site distribution, and at the same time not to miss the link between these seminars, so what we decided, that we'll keep this seminar on 11th October, which is Friday evening. So this is the first seminar which will be on importance of reading Srila Prabhupada books and the glories of Srila Prabhupada books. So I will be covering many, many extremely important points which will actually showcase that, how, you know, what is the importance of reading Prabhupada books and how it is connected to all the acharyas also. And then in November month, you know, we will be having two seminars, probably, two seminars, like, you know, within a week's time. So two weekends, consecutive weekends, probably we'll have the seminar on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Other one will be, the last one will be on distributing Srimad Bhagavatam sets on a practical basis, practical level. So that is what we have decided currently. Now, if we had kept the seminar on 2nd October, the thing is that because Yatra is coming in between, the devotee would have lost that connection and they could have not taken it very seriously. So that's the reason we decided that one seminar, which is like probably, and we won't connect it to the Bhagavatam, we'll just emphasize the reading of Srila Prabhupada books. So that will be the first part. And the next two parts will be Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is directly not connected, but it is connected indirectly. So that the devotees won't feel that right from October we have started propagating our message for distributing Bhagavatam. Okay, so this is what we are going to do. Now, interestingly, I will tell you one thing, that whatever names of the books that are mentioned here, Prabhupada has given the essence of each and every book in his purports, in his teachings. And Prabhupada has also given the essence of other books that you have not come across or not heard names, which are very advanced books. You know, obviously Prabhupada does not give everything, but he gives the summary of that book in his teachings. So this we actually can understand. So how we can understand this, you know, that's a part of the seminar, which all of you can attend on 11th October. Yeah, but you see, my when I'm reading books, my dilemma is that whenever I try to read certain books, then I come to know that there are other books also which I have to read. So see, there are books that I have to read in order to share and to teach. So for that purpose, I have to read those books. And then there, you know, for my personal Krishna consciousness realizment also, I have to read some books. Okay, and obviously nothing is personal in Krishna consciousness, because everything, at the right time, you know, things are revealed and things are shared. But, so, you know, whenever, so, you know, obviously Prabhupada's books are always there, you know, they are always going to stay forever. So those books I have to read, you know, whether it is the book or it is the letter of Prabhupada or it is the Leela Amrita of Prabhupada, does not matter, but, you know, Prabhupada teachings will be there. At the same time, I have to also read philosophical books in order to share Krishna consciousness to the devotees. And, you know, so that they can also become an expert and they can be thorough in their philosophy, in their siddhant. So that is another thing. And then obviously, you know, there are books on Leelas also, you know, which we have to read so that we can also have a personal relishment of our Krishna consciousness. So these things are there, and that is the reason many times, you know, it's difficult because the problem what happens is you can't remember so many things. And see, I have started Bhagavatam of Prabhupada second time. Basically, I've read Bhagavatam, the entire Bhagavatam twice. So once is Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, the second one is Sarvatra Darshini of Vishwanatha Thakur, the entire Bhagavatam, 1 to 12 cantos. And, you know, when I have started Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, I don't remember anything that I've read. Only some major important points that Prabhupada had shared. See, because when I read the Bhagavatam for the first time, I was just in my earlier days of Krishna consciousness. So obviously that maturity was not there. The philosophical background was not there. Concepts were not clear at that time. So I was just going through it. And probably many things probably I did not understand at that point of time. Now, after spending like a couple of years studying other books, literatures of Prabhupada, and then hearing from devotees and, you know, getting more like engaged in Krishna consciousness, then I started realizing, understanding many things with time. And so now I am able to understand Prabhupada's Bhagavatam to a lot of extent. So it is always like that, you know, the more you read, the more number of times you read the same book, the more you get new and new realizations, and your understanding will also become matured. Plus, you can also appreciate what Prabhupada has given to you, because you are able to know what we initially we don't hear such things, you know, what is Prabhupada's contribution, and we cannot understand his contribution. But later, when we are hearing from devotees repeatedly Prabhupada's contribution, then we pay attention to certain things that he has mentioned and try to find out that they were, you know, this is what Prabhupada gave here, this is what Prabhupada gave here, and this is so important. So then things start revealing to us. So it's a very beautiful experience to read books again and again, because the more you read again and again, the more you remember, the more you understand, and more you can relish also. Otherwise, you just have to go through it in the beginning. Many things you will not be able to understand, so you just have to go through it. Okay, so as time passes, because of devotional service, you know, as it is mentioned, that not the scholarship that is going to reveal the knowledge, but it is purely the mercy of the spiritual master and the devotional service that we are rendering that is going to reveal. So, you know, that's the reason the Shastra also says that Yasya Deva Parabhakti Yatha Deva Pata Tavu Guru Kasya Se Kathiyate Artha Prasajante Mahatmana, that only unto those souls who have implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously, all the purports of Vedas are revealed to such person. So unless we have that faith in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously, we cannot, that the purpose cannot be revealed to us. Right? So obviously, now faith in the spiritual master means that, you know, we have to surrender, we have to follow the process, and we have to sacrifice, and then we have to sincerely follow. So only when we surrender, then, so that's how we can actually understand and digest all the things. So, you know, there are devotees who are not able to read Prabhupada's books also. They are having a tough time. And probably they think that, you know, they are, Prabhupada has given a lot of philosophy. So they are not able to have the regular meal. What to speak of having, you know, the sweet, you know, and the different types of items along with the regular meal. So it's not, they will not be able to digest that. So it is important that, you know, first, if you have your regular meal, and then you also have other items, then you can actually digest it. Otherwise, very difficult. You cannot just sustain on sweets, and you cannot just sustain on regular meal. So you have a balanced approach, and you know that's how things will be easier. So we can digest. So anyways, but those who cannot digest a lot of knowledge, you know, for them these four books are sufficient: Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, which is teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyone who can thoroughly read these four books, you know, it is actually sufficient for them. Knowledge is revealed to them. The essence of the literature is revealed to them. Okay? So any comment or question?
It's fine, baby.
Yeah, okay. So next verse. Yeah, Swati Mataji, are you able to read now?
Can you hear Prabhuji? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Text 42. Param Brahmastu Putra Namas Trijiva Goshani Yata Bhakti Granta Kaila Tara Antanai Tandra, his Brathur Putra nephew, Nama of the name Srijiva Goshani Silajiva Goswami Prabhupada Yata all Bhakti Granta, books on devotional service, Kaila compiled. Tara, that Anta and Nai, there is not. She, Rupa Goswami's nephew, Srila Jiva Goswami, has compiled so many books on devotional service that there is no counting them.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what I've heard is that he has compiled more than 25 books. 25 works, you know. So, lot of work.
43. Shri Bhagavata Sandarbha Nama Granta Rishtara Bhakti Siddhantare Tate Dekayanchi Para. Shri Bhagavanta Sandarbha Nama, the Bhagavat Sandarbha Granta, the book, Rishtara, very elaborate, Bhakti Siddhantara, of the conclusions of devotional service, Tate, in that book, Dekayanchena, he has shown, Para, the limited translation. In Sri Bhagavata Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has written conclusively about the ultimate end of devotional service, purport. The Bhagavata Sandarbha is also known as the Sat Sandarbha. In the first part called Tattva Sandarbha, it is proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most authoritative evidence directly pointing to the absolute truth. The second Sandarbha, called Bhagavata Sandarbha, draws a distinction between impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, and describes the spiritual world and the domination of the modes of goodness, devoid of contamination by the other two material modes. In other words, there is a vivid description of the transcendental position known as Shuddha Sattva. Material goodness is apt to be contaminated by the other two material qualities, ignorance and passion. But when one is situated in the Shuddha Sattva position, there is no chance for such contamination. It is a spiritual platform of pure goodness. The potency of the Supreme Lord and the living entity is also described. And there is a description of the inconceivable energies and varieties of energies of the Lord. The potencies are divided into categories, internal, external, personal, marginal, and so forth. There are also discussions of the eternality of deity worship, the omnipotency of the deities, his all-pervasiveness, his giving shelter to everyone, his subtle and gross potencies, his personal manifestations, his expressions of the form, quality, and pastime, his transcendental position and his complete form. It is also stated that everyone pertaining to the Absolute has the same potency and that the spiritual world, the associates in the spiritual world and the threefold energies of the Lord in the spiritual world are all transcendental. There are further discussions concerning the difference between the impersonal Brahman and the personality of Godhead. The fullness of the personality of Godhead, the objective of all Vedic knowledge, the personal potency of the Lord and the personality of Godhead as the original author of the Vedic knowledge. The third Sandarbha is called the Paramatma Sandarbha, and in this book there is a description of the Paramatma, the Super Soul, and an explanation of how the Super Soul exists in millions and millions of living entities. There are discussions of the difference between the qualitative incarnation and discourse concerning the living entities, Maya, the material world, the theory of transformation, the illusory energy, the sameness of this world and the super soul, and the truth about this material world. In this connection, the opinions of Sridhara Swami are given. It is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although devoid of material qualities, superintends all material activities. There is also a discussion of how the Leela Avatara incarnations respond to the desires of the devotees and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is characterized by six opulence. The fourth Sandarbha is called Krishna Sandarbha, and in this book Krishna is proved to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are discussions of Krishna's pastimes and qualities, his superintendence of Purusha avataras and so forth. The opinions of Sridhara Swami are collaborative. In each and every scripture, the supremacy of Krishna is stressed. Baladev, Shankarsana and other expansion of Krishna are emanations of Mahashankarsana. All the incarnations and expansions exist simultaneously in the body of Krishna, who is described as 200. There are also descriptions of the Goloka planet, Vrindavanam, the eternal place of Krishna, the identity of Goloka and Vrindavana, the Yadavas and the cowherd boys, both eternal associates of Krishna, the equality of the manifest and unmanifest pastimes, Sri Krishna's manifestation in Goloka, the queens of Dwaraka as a spiritual potency, and superior to them, the super excellent gopis. There are also a list of gopis' names and a discussion of the topmost position of Srimati Radharani. The fifth Sandarbha is called the Bhakti Sandarbha, and in this book there is a discussion of how devotional service can be directly executed and how such service can be adjusted either directly or indirectly. There is a discussion of the knowledge of all kinds of scriptures, the establishment of the Vedic institution of Varnashrama, Bhakti as superior to fruitive activity and so forth. It is also stated that without devotional service, even a Brahmana is condemned. There are discussions of the process of karma tyaga, the giving of the results of karma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the practices of mystic yoga and philosophical speculation, which are deprecated as simply hard labor. Worship of the demigods is discouraged, and worship of Vaishnava is considered exalted. No respect is given to the non-devotees. There are discussions of how one can be liberated even in this life. Jivan Mukta. Lord Shiva as a devotee and how a bhakta and his devotional service are eternally existing. It is stated that through bhakti one can attain all success because bhakti is transcendental to the material qualities. There is a discussion of how the self is manifest through bhakti. There is also a discussion of the self's bliss as well as how bhakti, even impersonally executed, enables one to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unmotivated devotional service is highly praised, and an explanation is given of how each devotee can achieve the platform of unmotivated service by association of other devotees. There is a discussion of difference between the Mahabhagavata and the ordinary devotee. The symptoms of philosophical speculation, the symptoms of self-worship or Ahagraha Poshana, the symptoms of devotional service, the symptoms of imaginary perfection, the acceptance of regulative principles, service to the spiritual master, the Mahabhagavata, liberated devotee, and service to him, service to Vaishnavas in general, the principles of hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offenses in worship, offensive effects, prayers, engaging oneself as an eternal servant of the Lord, making friendship with the Lord, and surrendering everything for His pleasure. There is also a discussion of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous love of Godhead, of the specific purpose of becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, and a comparative study of other perfectional stages. The sixth Sandarbha is called the Preeti Sandarbha, a thesis on love of Godhead. Here it is stated that through love of Godhead, one becomes perfect and attains the highest goal of life. A distinction is made between the liberated condition of a personalist and that of an impersonalist. There is a discussion of liberation during one's lifetime as distinguished from liberation from material bondage. Of all kinds of liberation, liberation is in loving service to the Lord is described as the most exalted, and meeting the Personality of Godhead face to face is shown to be the highest perfection of life. Immediate liberation is contrasted with liberation by a gradual process. Both realization of Brahman and meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described as liberation within one's lifetime, but meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead both internally and externally is shown to be super excellent above the transcendental realization of the Brahman essence. There is a comparative study of liberation as Salokya, Samipya and Swarupya. Samipya is better than Salokya. Devotional service is considered to be liberation with greater facilities, and there is a discussion of how to obtain it. There are also discussions of the transcendental state one achieves after attaining the devotional platform, which is the exact position of the love of Godhead. The marginal symptoms of the transcendental love and how it is awakened, the distinction between so-called love and the transcendental love on the platform of love of Godhead, and the different types of humor and mellow enjoyed in relishing the lusty affairs of the gopis, which are different from the mundane affairs, which in turn are symbolical representation of pure love for Krishna. There are also discussions of bhakti mixed with philosophical speculation, the super excellence of the love of the gopis, the difference between opulent devotional service and loving devotional service, the exalted position of the residents of Gokula, the progressively exalted position of the friends of Krishna, the gopas and the gopis in parental love with Krishna, and finally the super excellence of the love of gopis and that of Srimati Radharani. There is also a discussion of how spiritual feelings can be present when one simply imitates them, and how such mellows are far superior to the ordinary mellows of the mundane love, and they are descriptions of different ecstasies, the awakening of ecstasy, transcendental qualities, the distinction of Dhirodatta, the utmost attractiveness of conjugal love, the ecstatic creatures, the permanent ecstatic creatures, the mellows divided in five transcendental features of direct loving service and indirect loving service constituted in seven divisions, and finally there's a discussion of overlapping of different rasas, and there are discussions of shanta, neutrality, servitorship, taking shelter, parental love, conjugal love, direct transcendental enjoyment, and enjoyment in separation, previous attraction, and the glories of Srimati Radhani.
Yeah, so this Satsandarbhas, they are the most important work of Sri Jiva Goswami. And somehow by the mercy of the parampara, I have been able to read all the six Sandarbhas. And in fact, I would like to give a summary presentation in our next-to-next class. So this coming Saturday, you know, we'll talk about Srila Prabhupada. And next month, I'm thinking of having a class on glory of Srimati Radharani, probably. And then in November, I'm thinking of keeping a class on the summary of the Satsandarbhas. So, very important information which is systematically presented in each and every Sandarbha. So, this Krishna Sandarbha is generally the content is taken from Laghu Bhagavatamrit, but also elaborately expanded by Jiva Goswami. And it is proved that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatma Sandarbha, what he has done is he has proved that how Krishna is existing in the material world, how Krishna is controlling the material world. So Krishna is existing in the material world. It's called Paramatma. And then in Bhagavad Sandarbha, we have proved that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Bhagavan, or he is a person. So Bhagavan generally is referred to a person, actually. So many times there are impersonalists who say, talk about Bhagavan. But actually, Bhagwan is the meaning of the word Bhagwan itself is clearly given that Bhagwan, the possessor of all the opulences. And obviously, Jiva Goswami has elaborately expanded the definition of Bhagwan in almost more than 5 to 6 long sentences, which I will also present, you know, when I get the opportunity to make a presentation of the Satsandarbhas. So I will also give this long definition of Bhagwan, which includes everything that Bhagwan is supposed to have. So generally speaking, you know, Bhagwan, when we talk about Bhagwan or the Supreme Lord as a person, so what distinguishes the Supreme Lord as a person from being an impersonalist? Distinguishing characteristic of a person and in-person. Anyone knows? How do you say that someone is a person? How do you identify that? Or how do you
have a form?
You should have a form.
For consciousness and form?
See, form, even Paramatma has a form. And even objects, they have a form. But that does not mean that the object has become, or you know, it has become a person, right? So then, obviously, now consciousness has to be there. Without consciousness, there is no point of reciprocation, no point of, and so we cannot say that consciousness should be there in God, because He is the source of consciousness for the living entities. So consciousness is definitely there, but then what is the main distinguishing characteristics of Bhagwan and Brahman? If you remember, I have shared this in our Q&A class, probably. What is the main difference?
Form with senses and
form,
So you say person, right? What makes him a person? How distinguish him as a person?
Yeah.
He has formed with all the senses and all the emotions which are related.
Okay, so you can name everything. Like you can say emotions, senses, and then power. You know, like just as we find Bhagwan as the possessor of all opulences. So then you can also say someone who has wealth, someone who has strength, someone who has wisdom, someone who has knowledge, someone who has beauty. You can say like that. But in order to summarize everything in one word, and that word is Shakti. So, or energy of the Lord. Energy. So this energy, ultimately whatever you're talking about, the beauty, wealth, renunciation, wisdom, knowledge and everything, it is just the manifestation of energy. Swarup of the Lord. Okay, so we talk about Swarup Shakti of the Lord. And Swarup Shakti of the Lord contains three Shaktis of the Lord. We know that, right? Sandini, Samvit and Ladini Shaktis. So these are called the Swarup Shakti, which means that the Lord is actually identified because of his Shaktis. So he is recognized as a person because of possessing these Shaktis. Okay, so that is called Swarup Shakti, which is the energy of the Lord. And because if someone has that energy, then only, you know, they can have a personality and they can also reciprocate in that feature. Otherwise, without the Shakti, the Lord will become, the Absolute Truth becomes impersonal. So basically in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Swami has proved that the Absolute Truth is ultimately a person. And that would mean that he is proving that the Lord is possessing all the appearances and the Shakti. Okay, so this is Bhagavad Sandarbha. Paramatma Sandarbha in context to the material world.
Does it mean that impersonal form means there is no Shakti in that?
Yeah, there is no Shakti because there is only Brahman. So when you have Shakti, then only there is an activity, no? Without Shakti, there is no activity. And there is no identification.
So when you say Brahman, you mean impersonal Brahman?
Yeah, Brahman is impersonal Brahman. So Brahman basically means impersonal.
That is what Mayavadis believe, right?
Mayavadis, yeah.
Because so Mayavadis say that it is energy and this energy will submerge in that energy. But they call it as energy finally.
But they don't mean in the context that we are defining the energy as, like, you know, the Shakti. So, see, now Mayavadis also say that there is some supreme power. So now when they are using the word, see, that is the, and one, you know, one thing you can say about Mayavadis, that is the contradiction that they actually always do. Because when they say that there is a supreme power, that they are unable to recognize that supreme power is a person. What they finally come to the conclusion is that the supreme power is just void. Nothing is there. Nothing is there, right? So, what is the question of a supreme power? You know that the power is coming from a source. The power cannot come from on its own. We know that. So, that is the difference between a personalist and impersonalist. That, you know, in layman's language, they will use these kind of words. That, oh, there is a supreme power or there is some Shakti behind everything. But that is not, they are not defining in terms of a technical language. They are just using a layman's word. That, okay, there is some supreme being, some supreme entity, probably they will call it as entity. Okay. So, but obviously where that supreme entity is coming from, how it is manifesting its powers, that they don't want to accept. So now it is interesting that the entire creation is coming from Brahman. See, at least they will believe that entire manifestation is coming from Brahman. Okay. But they will deny the personal feature of that Brahman. That, you know, now obviously whenever something is coming, whenever something is created, it means that someone is creating that. So there is a feature, you know, there is a personal aspect to that. And that can only come from the energy or the shakti of the of that particular entity, right? So that manifestation can only come from that particular thing. So that's how we actually say that, you know, the Supreme Lord is ultimately the Supreme Truth is a person. And when we talk about person, then obviously he should have the shaktis. If without shakti, you know, he becomes impersonal because there is nothing. So that is the fault with Mayavadis, that they will say that, you know, Brahman is doing this, Brahman is doing that. But Brahman is not a person. How can he do it? You know, Brahman is, how can Brahman decide something? How can Brahman use his intelligence when there is nothing? Everything is void. And what is the purpose of doing all these things? So Brahman cannot decide, and you know, Brahman does not have intelligence that, you know, even if Brahman has intelligence, but then what is the purpose of doing these things? What Brahman is going to get from these things? Like creating all these things, what Brahman is going to achieve? So these things the Mayavadis are not able to answer. I know what, like, you know, that last class I was mentioning about my, you know, friend who came to my house. So along with him, another of my friend also was there from the same batch in like 11th standard. So he's a kind of Mayavadi. And whenever, so I was sharing, you know, that this friend of mine was asking me questions about, you know, what is the purpose of creation and why we are created and all that. So this friend of mine who is a Mayavadi, so he was saying that iska koi answer hi nahi hai, humko sochne ka nahi iske bare mein, you know, because they don't have answer to any questions. They will just say that let it happen, you have to accept it. But here we are talking about a personal philosophy. So because we know that God is a person, that is the reason we have an answer to this question, that why we are created and why this material world is also created. Mayavadis, they cannot answer the question. So they're talking about activities, and then they say that these activities are done by Brahman, who is inactive by nature, which is contradictory.
Prabhuji, I have one question.
Yeah.
These shaktis, they are also coming from Krishna only, right? From Bhagavan only, right?
Yeah, the shakti is also, obviously, it's a swarup of the Lord. See, it is a swarup. It's inherent in the Lord. So, like, you know, for example, you say that Krishna's fruit, then Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's spiritual world, Krishna's associates. So, see, that is why Bhagavatam, if you, Chatushvati Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the Lord is saying to Brahma that I alone exist. There is nothing which existed before me, and there will be nothing which will exist after this annihilation. You know, finally, I am the only one who is going to exist. So now, does it mean that the Lord is the only one? See, if he is a person, and if the Lord is saying that I am the only one who is going to exist, then what is the use of that kind of Supreme Lord? And what is the purpose of creating material world and the universes and the jivas? And then what is the use of activity? If the Lord is saying that I am the only one who is existing, so what is the goal of everything then? That does not make sense. So actually, if you see in the proper context of those verses, it is clear that when the Lord is saying that I alone exist, now I also mean including his shaktis. Including, now shakti means something which is inherent in him, something which is his own nature. Then I see what will happen. See, now in the material world, when you say that we are discussing CC. So now there are multiple causes why we are discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita. So basically we are dependent on certain things, on certain situations. Like, you know, for example, I am in my house because of my parents. So I am dependent on my parents. I am I am discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita because I am in ISKCON, because I am a fellow of Prabhupada, because of this, because of that, because of so many other reasons. Okay, because I have read the scriptures, and I have learned from the senior devotees. So everything I have gained from someone. So what would happen is, my position in the material world is relative. Right? It is relative because I am dependent on so many other factors. Because of my karma, I am here. Because of my karma, probably I have some intelligence so that I can share scriptures with you all. Right? So I am not independent. I have to be dependent on several past factors and several present factors also in order to do something. Okay? But in case of the Supreme Lord, when He is existing, and because His, all the paraphernalia that He is using, so these are actually His own swabhavik nature. These are inherited nature. It is not different from Him. If it is different from Him, then what would happen? Then the Supreme Lord would have to be dependent on these things. That, okay, Krishna is playing flute, that means that He is dependent on the flute. Krishna is wearing the dhoti, or Krishna is wearing ornaments, or Krishna is wearing the garlands, Krishna is using the spiritual world to exhibit His pastimes, Krishna is reciprocating with the devotees. That means that Krishna is actually depending on His devotees, He is depending on all other paraphernalia also. That means He would become a dependent person, and that would contradict the definition of God, and that would also make Him relative instead of absolute, because absolute person or absolute entity cannot depend on anything else. It is completely independent. In fact, all other things will depend on Him. So that's the reason Krishna is non-different from His flute, His paraphernalia, and everything that is manifested in this internal swarupa, which is the swarup shakti of the Lord. So Srimati Radharani and the expansion of Srimati Radharani, Lali Shakti and the Antaranga Shaktis, these are all Krishna's personal internal energies, His own swarupa. And so that is the reason Krishna is never dependent on anything. So we can say that the dhoti, the flute, the spiritual world, the mrangas, the kartals, that they are, the manifestation of Balram's expansion in the spiritual world, they are all Krishna. They are all Krishna. But at the same time, they are also not Krishna. So they are all Krishna because of the same nature, because of their, the intrinsic nature, the internal energy, Krishna's own nature. It is Krishna's own nature. So that's the reason it's all Krishna. But in terms of the Leela, they are all different. They are having some different functions and roles to play. So now, it is also mentioned in Brahma Samhita that Krishna's body, the eyes of the Lord, can eat prasad. Krishna can glance and he can also eat prasad through that. Right? So then we can say that, well, the eyes is the same as the mouth. And so similarly, the hand is also equal to the mouth and eyes. And so the entire entity of Krishna is actually one and the same. So so does it make the Lord Mayavad, like everything is one? And does it make the entire spiritual world one? No. It is one, but it is different. This is Achintya Bhedala Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is the goal of Satyasandarbha by Jiva Goswami is to establish the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the highest philosophy. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most authoritative scripture. And Srimad Bhagavatam's philosophy, or the culmination of Bhagavatam, is promoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. So that means, and because Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest, so that means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is also the highest. So this is what Jiva Goswami is proving in these satsandarbhas. Now, technically, this will finish when Jiva Goswami is giving the end of the Sambandh Gyan, which is the first four books, the Tattva Sandarbha, then the Paramatma, the Bhagavat, and the Krishna Sandarbha. where he is culminating to prove that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So these four books are concerned with the Samban Gyan, and really, you know, his work is accomplished, because in the fifth Sandarbha and the Bhakti Sandarbha, he is giving the Abhyudaya Gyan, the devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Now, obviously, everything is established. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achinta Bhagavad, is the highest. So then, what is the next step? So next step is that surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Okay, so that is the Abhyudaya. How to surrender? That is given in Bhakti Sandarbha. And then finally, the result of that is Prayojan, which is given in Priti Sandarbha. Okay, so yeah, is this clear? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it answers well.
Okay, I forgot, what was your question?
I'd asked if Shakti is also coming from the Lord only, right?
Yeah. So it is, see, now it is self-manifesting. Now there is no answer to this question that how, what is the origin of that Shakti. It is inherent within the Lord. The Lord is existing, and the Shakti is also existing simultaneously. So it is now these things are like eternally existing. Okay. So now where, you know, and it's not that the Lord has gained this Shakti from someone, or, you know, he has got it from somewhere. It is inherent in him. That's why he is independent, Swarat. Okay, so this is Achinta Bhagavad, that everything belonging to Krishna or his Antaranga Shakti is all one and the same with him. But it is manifesting in a different way in order to accomplish his leelas. So actually, finally, ultimately, everything is Krishna only. Whether it is the material world, the jivas, or the, you know, the Takasthaya Shakti, or the marginal, or the Bahiranga Shakti. It's all one and the same only. It's all Krishna only. But when it is manifested, but, you know, it is having a different function. And that is the reason it is also different at the same time. So here is the reconciliation of all the four Vaishnava Sampradaya Acharyas. That, you know, Madhvacharya, he gave the Dvaita philosophy. There, you know, he's saying that everything is different. Okay, and then Ramanujacharya presented the Shuddha Advaita philosophy, which says that Krishna, the material world, and the living entities, they are present in the body of Krishna. But at the same time, they are parts and parcel of the Lord. So it is like, you know, he gave the example of a body and a soul. That inside the body, there is a soul. So similarly, the body is actually the material creation, and the soul is actually the Supreme Lord. Okay, so the jivas are also in the body, and they are meant to serve the Lord. So it is oneness. But Madhvacharya, you know, he completely refuted Mayavad like anything, and he has given the opposite philosophy of Mayavad. So Advaita philosophy is everything is one. But so Dvaita philosophy is everything is separate. Now, in according to Madhvacharya's philosophy, the Lord, the jivas, the material creation, they are all separate. They are not in one body. They are all separated. And each and every one is separated from each other. So this is how Dvaita philosophy is. Okay, and then Nimbarkacharya, you know, he has synthesized these philosophies by giving the Bheda principle, which means that everything is one, it's also different. Just that, you know, they believe that it is Swabhaviki. You know, this difference and oneness is Swabhaviki, natural, the Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refined it and he said that this is Achintya for us. This, to say simultaneously that Krishna and his flute is Krishna, and at the same time to say that Krishna and the flute is different also. It's contradictory and it cannot exist at the same time, but it is existing. And because of our limited senses and capacity, it is inconceivable for us. That is why it is called Achintya, Bhed, Abhed, Tattva.
Prabhuji, can you once give a seminar on these teachings of these four sampradayas once, if you're not already given and if I'm not aware of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am aware of Advaita, Dvaita, and Shuddha Advaita to some extent. And Nimbarkacharya, you know, he is also explaining a bit. But I am not. So, okay, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, and Vishnu Swami, yeah. So, Vallabha's teachings, you know, I have to try to understand deeply, because actually, interestingly, you know, whenever I have tried to do some research on these four Vaishnava Sampradayas, I have got good amount of material for Shuddha Advaita, which is Ramanuja's philosophy, Dvaitavad, which is Madhvat's philosophy, and Advaita, obviously, there is a lot of information. But somehow, I am not able to find Ramanujacharya is Vishishta Advaita, and Shuddha Advaita is the philosophy of Vishnu Swami, which is Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. So, what is exactly Shuddha Advaita, how it is differing from the Vishishta Advaita of Ramanujacharya, and you know how it is also differing from the philosophy of Nimbarka, that somehow I have to find out.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I need some time for that. I want to do research on that. And so whichever devotee can, I've seen in YouTube also, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu also has not given so much information on this. Then once I had asked Sri Nandanand Prabhu, who is Stephen Knapp, Prabhupada disciple, he's also a very scholarly person, but he also has not defined properly in his teachings. He has not given so much information. But so let's see, if I get opportunity, I can ask. Even Bhari Maharaj is also not familiar with these four Vaishnava philosophies, which is quite strange, for a personality like Bhanu Maharaj. He is only familiar with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimbarka's philosophy a bit, and obviously some, the essence of Madhva and Ramanuja Sampradaya. But to distinguish between, these Sampradaya is a bit, so once I get some information, I will definitely present that, in the Sat Sandarbha seminar also.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so the unique contribution of Jiva Goswami in the form of the Sat Sandarbha is that everything has been systematically organized and arranged in one book. Now, it is also mentioned, in fact, Jiva Goswami himself, in the beginning of the Sandarbhas, he gives the entire credit to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, because he says that he is the one who has actually assembled everything, but assembled in the sense that he has done the work, but it was haphazard. It was not organized systematically. So I am just arranging and I am organizing it systematically. So he is also giving credit to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Yeah, so now I see, in ISKCON also, there are some devotees who are also giving seminars on Sat Sandarbhas, because I think they are also realizing the importance of these subject matters and how it can actually enhance the philosophical understanding of all the devotees. So these are very important topics. And interestingly, Prabhupada has given whatever he is discussing here, whatever he is mentioning here, Prabhupada has given everything his purpose. It's just that Prabhupada has not assembled things at one place. He has distributed and divided his the essence of all these teachings at different places. Okay, so that's why it is kind of difficult to, because you have to read Prabhupada books, all the books, and then only you can actually bring all of them together. And for that also you have to really literally read very attentively and try to find out where things are given, and then you have to extract them from that particular book or teachings. So yeah, but the first four sandarbhas are very important. The fifth sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, is actually basically derived mostly from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's quite similar. And even so, the Priti Sandarbha is kind of similar to Ujjwal Nilamani. So it is mostly, see, this is the mood of the Acharyas and the Parampara, that whatever they have been given by the previous Goswami and Acharyas, they have collected that, and in addition to that, they have expanded that work. So we are also doing the same thing. You know, in our the assignment that we have like shared, we are just collecting statements from different places that all our Acharyas have given, and then we will be just systematically organizing and arranging things, presenting and elaborating on that a bit more. So that is what we are also going to do. So I hope that, you know, devotees have put up their assignment online now.
Google Drive link, I will upload it then, because I wanted to ask you, good you reminded. Can you just send the Google Drive link again?
Yeah, I mean, I have already shared in the class, like, you know, the question answer.
You know, actually some of the messages have got deleted, you know, because of some technical problem from my phone sometimes. So, can you just share it again? Or maybe anyone in the group, maybe even Rajesh.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but you know, it's good that, you know, whenever I'm sending, you know, you just, like, you can bookmark it or something, you know, so it will remain.
Yeah, I was very busy at that time. I think I skipped my mind to do it. I thought I would do it and then I forgot to do it.
Yeah, okay. And whoever will understand the logic and the philosophy that is presented by Jiva Goswami, which Prabhupada also uses a lot of times in his teachings and purports. So if you understand these things not only will you become expert of Vedic literature, you can also present and you can also defeat arguments of other people. So you become very grounded and strong in your own philosophy. Okay, all right. So it's 11:30. We can stop here. But next Monday, let's try to start.
जो आपने लिंक दिया जहाँ पर असाइनमेंट को अपलोड करना है, दैट इज द लिंक ऑफ गूगल ड्राइव, राइट?
या इट इज द वर्ड फाइल बेसिकली. सो व्हेन यू क्लिक ऑन दैट, आई थिंक यू विल बी डायरेक्टेड टू द वर्ड डॉक्यूमेंट एंड ऑनलाइन वर्ड डॉक्यूमेंट, एंड देन आई थिंक यू विल बी एबल टू एडिट. Or, I mean, you know, you can add in that. So, as far as I remember, I have given the permission to everyone, who, like, you know, to edit. So, I am hopeful that you will all be able to edit or, like, add into it. If you are having some problem, just let me know. I will check and revert back.
Okay. So, basically, you know, Google, it's a Word document. We open the Word document and we paste our assignment in that Word document. So all assignments will be done after the other in the same Word document, actually, right?
Exactly. So everyone, they just have to copy paste their assignment. They just have to paste it like in the Word file.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is, you know, it will just take like few minutes to do that.
Yeah. Fine.
And I think, you know, we'll have to meet also. Personally, we'll have to meet, one of us. In order to take this ahead, we'll have to meet, because we'll have to discuss certain things. And obviously now there are devotees who are outside of India and outside of Mumbai also. So these devotees can coordinate on the phone. But whoever is in Mumbai, we all can meet and we can, you know, discuss and we can take this further, how to go about it. So we'll do that.
Okay, David.
Okay. Right. And I think there are some questions which are not answered. I think some devotees, they have not taken up some questions. So whichever the question is missing, you know, I think we can also do some work on that. So let's see, you know, once the devotees will start, you know, everyone will put everything in that one place, then we'll come to know.
Okay,
all right. So thank you, all the devotees, for joining. Hare Krishna, Janat Pranam. Please let me know, Nirvika, you let me know about the Saturday or Sunday program.
Yeah, Saturday for sure I'm not there. Even Sunday I'm doubtful. Saturday, but mera pakka nahi hai.
Okay, Saturday you have any course or what? Or like you are just going outside?
No, it's not about the course. It's just that I have some work to finish for my office now. So mostly I think because of that only it might take up some time. It might take me late at office. That's the reason.
Okay. Yeah, because like in future, you know, we might do on Saturdays, like instead of Sundays. So, okay. Yeah, that's why. Okay, all right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.